Welcome to Charlotte Readers Podcast, where authors give voice to the written words. This is the show where we meet Charlotte area authors and those who visit the Queen City, and we hear them read their work. Today, we have a special edition featuring first season sponsor Park Road Books. We're sitting down with the staff for their holiday book picks. They will give voice to the written word of others, and when we're done, you will have some great suggestions for books to buy for yourself and your loved ones. And since we're rapping about books in the holiday season, how about a little rap to get us started? Credit to Christmas Rap, Kevin McLeod, and CompTech.com. I'm your host, Landis Wade. Thank you for listening. We visit first today with Sally Brewster, the owner of Park Road Books, and then we chat with James Brewster, Megan Minard, Shauna Sinyard, and Sherry Smith. The store dog, Yola, also has a book pick for the pet-friendly reader, which you can find on our website. It's often said that variety is a spice in life, and it's true in books too. And we get a variety of tastes and the suggestions that go with them with the book-minded folks at Park Road Books. You can listen without taking notes because the full list of suggestions is in the show notes at charlottereaderspodcast.com. So let's get started. Today I'm here at Park Road Books, the oldest independent bookstore in Charlotte and the only independent bookstore in Charlotte. I'm here with Sally Brewster. Sally, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
So, Sally, first of all, I want to thank you for Park Road's sponsorship of the first season of Charlotte Readers Podcast. It's been a lot of fun. We've had some great authors on there, and we couldn't have done it without your help.
It's our pleasure. It's a welcome addition to Charlotte's newscape. I don't know what you call this.
The podcast
listening.
The listening stuff.
Audience.
Yeah. So today, we're doing something a little special. We're here at Park Road Books. Yeah, so if you haven't been to Park Road Books, you need to come by. It's in Parker Shopping Center. Look for the blue sign on the white. In fact, y'all painted this thing white a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, the shopping center is now painted white. We used to be original brick.
Okay. Sally, you are the chief cook and bottle washer here. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, okay. Whatever needs to be done.
Whatever needs to be done. And you've been here how long?
I've been here since 1999.
Okay. And how'd you end up in the bookstore business?
I started off in the publishing business. I worked for Random House, and I called on independent bookstores in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Savannah, Georgia. And the previous owner of this store, which used to be called The Little Professor, was my first customer. And I would work for him every Christmas, and I loved it.
And it's Christmas again.
It is Christmas again.
And when it's Christmas time, it's time to talk books, right?
It is. We love this time of the year.
And we're going to do something fun today. We're going to have you share some of your picks for the month, and we've got other members of the staff who are going to come on and give their ideas as well as to the kind of books that might be fun to read. So how many books did you bring with you today?
I have six.
Okay. So give me your top pick.
Well, my top one is This Day in North Carolina History by Ainsley Herring Wegner and Jeff Miles. This is a wonderful oblong softcover coffee table book. It started off as a blog. And people just doing interesting things that happened in North Carolina on which day. And there were so many interesting things, they compiled it together into a book. So you can flip.
I see the viaduct right there.
Exactly. Yeah. That was my favorite one. On September 11th, 1987, the viaduct opened up on the Blue Ridge Parkway. And I had the honor of being able to ride my bicycle down the Blue Ridge Parkway on the viaduct before it opened. And so when I opened up this book to this picture, it just brought back so many memories, and it really is an engineering marvel. And also on this day, in 1961, the first ski resort, Cataluchi Ski Slopes, was incorporated and opened up. So it's just a wonderful little book that covers everything, murders, historical facts.
Now, you went
facts.
From the viaduct to murders. Is there a connection there? No.
Well, it's a perfect place to get rid of a body.
Maybe, who knows? Who knows? That might lead to some mystery books as well, right?
Exactly.
But this is a timeline book?
This is like a timeline. It has great photographs in it. You can flip by day. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a history buff to really enjoy this book. It just is a really interesting slice of history. Multiple things happening all the time. We have the Carolina twins that were conjoined twins. You can find out about them. You can go any which way you want. And it's just one of these fascinating books. It's perfect for...
So let me see the cover again.
Sure, right? Absolutely.
So, yeah, there's it looks like a... Is it a clock?
It's a stopwatch or a clock stopwatch. And
this day in North Carolina.
So you can just find out, open up to your birthday and find out what happened on your birthday multiple times during history.
There's some great pictures in here too.
Wonderful pictures. They did a great job. It's a really great price point of $35. Would you double check that for me?
If not, Sally's going to give it to you for $35.
I took off the shrink wrap. So I took off the shrink wrap to find that out. Yeah, so you could flip through it because it really is just a great book. And the University of North...
So this goes all the way back to, the 1800s?
Sure. If they can document that it happened, it's in there.
Okay. All right. Well, great. So... what's next?
Okay, let's go into Blue Blood 2, Duke Carolina. The latest on the never-ending greatest rivalry in college hoops by Art Chansky. Art Chansky, years ago, had brought out Blue Blood, and that was the first book about the Duke Carolina rivalry. And as all the fans of basketball and Duke and Carolina knows, the rivalry continues and continues to get more interesting. As Boak Krzyzewski
and... It's like the Blue Man Show here.
It does. It is. It's the light blue and the blue dark blue.
And the dark blue faces that go with it, yeah.
And so it's Krzyzewski and Williams. It goes through all the problems they've had. Carolina with their academics program and the problems they've had with that. Krzyzewski losing all his people in first round drafts to the NBA. And how they keep us fans cheering and screaming and tearing our hair out.
You know, this guy had a good marketing advisor, too, because, you know, there are the Carolina people and there are the Duke people. But if you write a book that covers both, hey, you're going to sell more books.
Double
right?
the audience. And we have autographed copies. Mr. Chansky came to the store. He's a lovely man. We had a great time with him, and we have plenty of signed, autographed first editions for him.
All right, great. So we've got the history of North Carolina. We've got a lot of the sports history of North Carolina and this Blue Blood 2, Duke-Carolina rivalry. What you got next?
Okay, and then we have this wonderful, colorful book called Bibliophile, An Illustrated Miscellany.
It has a lot of book spines on the cover. Very colorful.
Very colorful.
To Kill a Mockingbird, Harry Potter. Let's see, what else is on here? F. Scott Fitzgerald, The Great Gatsby.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we got in this book?
Emma, this is a book for book lovers. Yeah. It has a little bit of everything. It has a page on the original covers of books, iconic covers, To Kill a Mockingbird. They've gone back to the original cover for that. It's just this great book of lists. It has lists of bookstores in there. Hopefully when they come out, they'll put Park Road books in there. Cult classics, just a little bit of everything. There, you opened up to beloved bookstores.
Yeah, a podcaster might have to put this on his Christmas list or something.
Someone
who does podcasts that involves authors. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's bright, it's colorful, there's lots of pictures. The illustrations are just absolutely wonderful. Has a little reading ribbon, so you can tell where you've left off in there.
All right, that's great.
I know, I really love it. I mean, I live books, but this just, it's bright and shiny, and it appeals to me.
It's got a great look to the cover, too.
It does. The designer did a wonderful job.
All right, what you
got? Okay, so the next one I have is Ben McIntyre's book, The Spy and the Traitor, The Greatest Espionage Story of the Cold War. This is a great book about a Russian spy, and his name is Oleg Gordievsky. He was a spy for the Soviet Union, but he was also a spy for England. And so when Thatcher said that she could work with Russia and Mikhail Gorbachev, it was because of the information fed to her by this gentleman. So this is a wonderful story of how the Cold War continues to this day. It's a great cloak and dagger.
True story.
Mm. So history lovers will love this.
True stories that have a conspiracy edge to it are always nice.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's a great writer, so he really keeps you turning the pages throughout the book.
There's this cover on it that looks like something's happening in the parking lot below ground, say around the Watergate time. Somebody's two shadows, somebody's handing a briefcase
a
to somebody
briefcase.
Else.
Yeah, yeah. I guess now it would be a disk or, you know, yes, a thumb drive.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. What's next?
Okay, now this is a bizarre book, but this is the book for people who have foodies in their life, and especially people that love cookbooks. This is The Noma Guide to Fermentation, and this is by Rene Redzepi and David Zilber. Yeah, Zilber.
It's a thick book.
It is a very thick book. Noma is the number one restaurant in the world. And if you try to get reservations at it, you have to go out years to get a reservation for it. It's in Scandinavia. And this book is all about foundations of flavor. And this restaurant prided themselves on scavenged, on getting stuff that was local to the area. So, of course, if you're in Scandinavia, you have a very short growing season. So how do you preserve? How do you keep things? So they started looking into fermentation. And this is a guide. You can do it yourself. You don't have to be a master chef to do it. Mm-hmm. My intrepid husband took our Thai chili peppers and made a great Thai chili paste. Ah. So it's really a wonderful book. This is for foodies who are willing to go to the next mile. And even if you don't do it, it's a really interesting book on how fermentation's with everything and how good it is for you.
Awesome. Okay, we got the food, we got the history, we got the rivalries, we got the books, we got the espionage. Now what?
We're going to end with fiction because you need a good book on Christmas Day. You know, after you're done opening up all your packages and eating all
Everybody
that wonderful food.
Goes to the corners and starts reading.
Right? Exactly. So Alan Eskins has just come out with a new book called The Shadows We Hide. It is the sequel to The Life We Bury. You do not need to read the first one in order to really enjoy the second one. This is a great literary mystery. It's a page-turner. Joe Talbert Jr.
I like page-turners.
Oh, it's great. He is the main character. It takes place in Minnesota. He is a cub reporter for the Associated Press, and he comes across a story about a gentleman that has the same name that he does. Mm. And he has never met his father, and he wonders if this man is his father. So he goes to this small town where he has been killed, and he starts to find out about this terrible awful gentleman that was his father.
The secret of the past.
And at the same time, he is being sued by a senator because he...
Those lawyers, they want to get,
you got to get that.
What about those lawyers?
Yeah. Well, sometimes they find another career in life.
Like maybe podcasting.
Exactly. But he's being sued by a senator because he uncovered a love affair that the senator was having. Ah. So there's lots of interesting things going on. It's a great book, perfect for men, women, teenagers. It's just really well written. He was nominated for the Edgar Awards, which is the top mystery award for the first one.
And the cover's got a lot of green leaves, like you're out in the middle of a field and there's a red barn and a dark... space in a window.
And of course,
above.
something bad always happens in the barn.
It's like, don't go down those steps.
Exactly.
Don't go in the barn at night.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, Sally, these are great suggestions. I'm going to talk with some more of your staff members now about some of their picks. And thanks again.
Thank you so much. And thank you for all you do for the literary scene in Charlotte. We really do appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Okay.
Now I'm welcoming James Brewster to this special edition of Charlotte Readers Podcast at Park Road Books. James, welcome.
Hello, hello.
So, James, that last name, it sounds like Sally's last name.
Indeed. We are related. Sally is my older sister, and she always will be.
Does she boss you around?
Yes, she always has.
Okay. And how long have you been here at the store?
That's a complicated question. I've been back about...
Is it a secret? I mean,
No. I've been back about 3.5 years. Okay. I took about a 15-year hiatus to teach school.
Okay.
But originally, I started in the store in 1989.
Got it. And you have brought some books today with you to recommend, right?
Indeed.
Okay, what you got first?
Growing up in Charlotte in the 1980s, I remember reading about these stories in the Charlotte Observer. The first book I have is called Money Rock, and it's the story of a cocaine dealer here in Charlotte who ostensibly got into a shootout with, another cocaine dealer in the Piedmont Courts housing projects. Yeah. And the book is written by Pam Kelly, one of the reporters who covered it in the 80s.
Yeah, she was a journalist here in Charlotte.
Correct.
Yeah. She was actually, a little spoiler alert here, but for season 2, we're going to have Pam Kelly on the show.
Excellent.
And, Pam is going to talk all about the book and what went into it. And I've already recorded that episode, and I will say this is a good pick. People are going to like this book, if for no other reason than the history of Charlotte and how certain parts of Charlotte came to be, you know, what they are. You know,
precisely.
They say that Charlotte's one of the most segregated cities, and you wonder why sometimes. Well, open this book, you'll find out. Indeed. But it's got more than that, right?
You've read, it does. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I loved it. It does tell you how Charlotte became integrated and then segregated and then integrated again and then segregated one more time. And it follows his story, and it follows also the story of Charlotte as a greater center of population, and right. how we were able to overcome some things and not so much the others.
And there are a lot of names in here that people who read it, who've been in Charlotte for a while, are going to recognize. People who went on to become mayors and judges and prosecutors, and you know, so it, and not only does she talk about this what happened to Charlotte, but the fallout from this one shootout in 1983 mm-hmm. to the families of the people that were involved generationally. So that's a great pick.
Thanks.
In fact, it says, a family story of cocaine race and ambition in the New South, Money Rock. What you got next?
Next, I got a straight-up history, a World War II history called Rampage.
World War II, yes.
Yes, by James Scott, who also is from Charlotte originally, although now I believe he lives outside of Charleston.
This is a thick book.
It is. Yeah, it's a tome, but it's a good one.
Get your money's worth here, right?
His previous book was Target Tokyo, and so this is kind of a follow-up to that. And this is the story of Manila in the Philippines and the battle to retake it. And it kind of follows MacArthur and how he left the Philippines with the goal of coming back, the famous I shall return. And he did indeed come back. And he thought it would be a, you know, a hero's welcome. Unfortunately, the Japanese stayed in Manila and had something to say about it. And the book is excellent. It's well-researched and well-written. And the battle itself is just was horrific. They estimate that over 100,000 civilians died, making it comparable to the Rape of Nanking.
Well, you'd think there couldn't be another book about World War II, right?
Yeah, you'd think.
But this one's
a good one.
This one dives into, as you said, what goes on in the Pacific War. Yeah, it looks like a great book. What else?
Next up, I have a little literary fiction. Barbara Kingsolver. Unsheltered is the title of her latest book. And it is a great story about two families living in the same house in different centuries and how the house is literally and figuratively kind of coming apart.
So they talk about a sense of place in writing. This is place front and center.
It is. It is indeed.
In two different time periods.
It is. And she obviously is just an excellent writer, but I think she has a lot to say in this one, and it's going to be one of those book club books that we sell a lot of over the years.
Yeah, it even has those jagged edge pages to make it look like it's a real old book.
Oh, yes.
All right, good. What you got here?
Next Something up.
It says Soul.
Soul.
Not Soul Train.
Got to have a cookbook thrown
in
there.
This is not music, right?
No, no.
This is cooking.
This is cooking.
The Brewsters must like food because Sally had a book.
If you could see us, you would notice we happen to have a fondness for food.
Okay.
This is by an Atlanta chef by the name of Todd Richards, and I believe his restaurant down there is Richards Southern Fried, I believe, is the name of his restaurant.
What a name.
Yeah, great name. He does a great job, and the book is an excellent way to understand his marriage of traditional soul food with new techniques and ingredients.
A lot of great pictures in here,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful photography. He came up and did an event at Bonterra here in Charlotte and Dilworth, and he was the special guest chef and did an evening meal. And it was well done.
And you found a way to get invited?
I wish I had. but I got interested in the book. And if I had to pick one thing for someone to try out of this, I would have to go, there's a crab and horseradish dip that's pretty good. But there's a collard green pesto in there that's phenomenal.
But I just turned to page 57 with his caramelized onion tart, hot and spicy zucchini slaw, and smoked oysters on deviled egg toast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
I'm a Brewster. We like our food.
You got one more for me?
I got one more. Got a trend of Charlotte authors today.
Great.
This one is a children's picture book called Teach Your Giraffe to Ski by Vivian Elby, who, as I said, is a Charlotte author.
Looks and like me coming down the ski slope when I was little.
Pretty much. Yeah. I think she has done her share of skiing because she kind of nails the what it looks to be a newbie on skis.
I got the little one's got the pizza, turn the skis in, come down the slope.
Oh, yeah. She does a great job of teaching, you know, you have the pizza wedge and then you have the French fries when you're going really fast. The drawings are great, and it's a great little story. And I figure just in time for it to get cold in Charlotte.
And the first line of the book says,
uh-oh, it's snowing, and your giraffe wants you to teach her how to ski.
Now, there's got to be a story in there somewhere.
I think so.
All right. Well, it's been great. I appreciate, James, you sharing your suggestions here for the holiday season. And we're going to bring on another member of the staff here.
Thanks so much.
All right, I'm now welcoming Megan Minard to this special edition of Charlotte Readers Podcast. Megan, how you doing?
Good, 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 good.
And you've been with the store how long?
Oh, 3 years now, I think it is.
And what brought you here?
I really love books. Yeah. Honestly, I actually was trying to work in a library and didn't have a degree, and I figured the next best thing would be a bookstore, and it turned out to be the perfect job. I mean, I get to talk about books, read books, and we have a store dog. What could be better?
And by the way, the store dog is nestled up behind us as we speak today. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just so everybody knows when they come in, the store dog's name is?
Yola.
Yola. All right. So we are having staff members give their suggestions and ideas for holiday buying.
Yeah.
This season. So what do you got for us?
So I have, the first one I picked is called Good Morning, Good Night. It's by Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Ah, he's kind of popular these days.
Yeah, just a little bit.
He did this little play, I think.
I think a few people have seen it.
Yeah, Hamilton, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a really great book. It's good for anybody. The idea came from, he does a Twitter thing where every morning he writes a cute little message, and every night he writes a good night message. And it was sort of his way of keeping track of the time he spends online. And it became this internet sensation. And he published a book. And so it's a collection of essentially his tweets with cute drawings.
Some people just have all the luck. I mean, yeah.
I know, right?
You turn your tweets into a book.
A book. Yeah, yeah, okay. And they're inspiring.
Well, when you're famous one day, don't delete all your tweets now.
Exactly, yeah, right.
Hang on.
Note to self.
It's a great cover, very very simple.
Yeah.
It has a mic coming down in front of the bed. He probably tweeted from his bed.
Probably.
Yeah. Good morning, eyes up, hearts up, mind sharp, compassion on full blast. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so Lin-Manuel, what you got next?
All right, next is a book for those who are interested in science fiction, science, space travel. If you enjoyed The Martian, you'll probably enjoy this. It's called Simiosis.
What is that on the cover?
I'm not 100%. It kind of looks like
an out of Alien or something.
Octopus arm, maybe. It's the
against the dark sky with the stars in the distance.
Yeah. Sentient takes many forms is the tagline. It's a really great story. So it's set in the future. Earth has become overpopulated, and a team is sent out into the stars to find a habitable planet and terraform it and make it ours. Ah. And it turns out that there are sentient plants on it. Some of them they can work with to help them, and some actively try to hurt them. And as the book goes, each generation is a different chapter, and you learn that overall there's one plant on the planet that's sort of the genius. It's this bamboo plant that works with them to sort of create this perfect habitat.
No,
it's not a spoiler. There's no spoilers. It's a fantastic, it's more science-based than sort of science fiction.
And this is something you enjoy reading, science fiction?
I'm not a huge science fiction fan, so when I do pick one, it's pretty approachable for all
for
different
anybody.
Readers.
Yeah. No, it's good to have a variety in your queue. Yeah.
So, I try to keep it broad, a little bit for everybody.
You got a thick book over there.
So this is the thickest one in the stack. This is by a local author, Fry Galliard.
Right.
It's for the fans of history. It is called Hard Rain.
It is a look at the 1960s, and he does this great job of interweaving music and personal accounts and historical bits of information into a talk about the decade of the 60s and how it sort of shaped America. And it's really interesting to read right now, sort of see how that transformed America and some of the similarities of what's going on in our world right now.
Yeah, and he's local. Yeah.
He's local.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And this is I wonder how long it took him to write this book.
I'm not sure. It has a bit of heft to it.
Yeah, you can choose the areas you want to focus on. The pictures on the front, you've got John Kennedy, looks like Bob Dylan, mm-hmm. Martin Luther King, JFK. Is that Malcolm X?
Malcolm X.
Yeah, who's that? Gloria Steinem?
One of them's Joni Mitchell, I think.
And Bobby Kennedy. Yep. And who we got?
I think that's Gloria Steinem.
That's Gloria Steinem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So this is you can pick it up anywhere. Yeah. I just turned to the Warren Commission page, focused on JFK assassination.
Yeah, he did a great job doing the research, putting it together. And it's not just a book of fact. It's got
anecdotes to it. Right. No, it reads, I'm sure, it reads like a... like a novel.
Right. Or, more like a novel than sort of a list of facts. So.
Right, great. And he's local. Good.
And he's local, even better.
What's next?
This is my personal favorite.
All right.
it's
nice. Do you like light blue? Is that
no, I'm a big fan of the Great British Bake Off. So this is, it's Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice, but with a twist. It is the novel, but it includes recipes that are inspired from the original food that was made during the period that the book was written.
Okay, over Thanksgiving, I was exposed to the Great American Bake Off for the first time.
Right.
My son was home, my wife was there, her mother was there. They were all watching this people bake for 3 hours.
Yeah, I know. It's a...
How do you turn... Of course, people used to say probably, how could you put golf on TV and watch people hit and walk and walk and hit?
Exactly.
But they do it.
Right. Yeah. So it's for the fans of that in your life, or someone who loves literature, or someone that really loves baking. It's a great sort of coffee table / gift book. It's beautifully designed, and the inside is also, again, this is a audio show, so you can't really see the inside.
Can't hold it up and see
the
inside.
But it's really great. Or you can come down the store and see it.
Oh, look at this. You got the, is that pedophores?
Petite fours, little cake treats that you can make.
They were doing this on the baking show the other night, too. Yeah, yeah. Critiquing somebody because theirs was not quite right.
I know.
Okay, well, good. Well, there seems to be a food theme here in everybody's list, too.
Everyone's got something food. Well, it's the holidays, and we like to eat. So, and the last one, it's a bit of a, I don't want to say dark horse. It's called The Real Lolita. It is... a really interesting take. The author has written a book about the real case of Sally Horner, who was kidnapped, which then this news story inspired the person who wrote Lolita. So halfway through him writing his story, the novel Lolita, he hears about Sally Horner's case and changes the ending of the story. So the reason why we have the Lolita we have today is because of this real kidnapping case, and it's fascinating.
So it's a whodunit.
It's a whodunit. It's a nonfiction.
It's
a true crime.
It's true crime.
Yeah, it's true crime. Yeah. It's nonfiction, but again, it's a book that reads like a novel. So if you have true crime fans out there, this is a great slice of history that I think a lot of people don't really know about.
Mm-hmm.
It's awkward to say it's an enjoyable story because it is about a kidnapping, but it is really well written, well researched. Fascinating.
Great suggestions. Too many books, not enough time.
Exactly. Yeah, right. That is the story of my life, I think.
All right. Well, thanks.
No, thank you.
Appreciate you giving us your suggestions.
Yep. Happy to do it.
All right. We now have Shauna Sinyard, who's going to give us her suggestions. Shauna, how long have you been a member of the staff here?
Since 2015.
2015. Mm-hmm. And what draws you to being a part of a bookstore?
Well, kind of obviously the love of books, but also I get a certain amount of joy from handing a book to a person and having it be the perfect book for them. I love matching books to readers.
Yeah, well, you did a great job for us last year when you made some suggestions for my daughter. And you've got some suggestions for us for this season, right?
I do, yes.
Okay, what do you want to start with?
Well, I'll start with this one, I suppose. It's a book called Blood, Water, Paint by Joy McCullough.
put it over here and okay. I can see it too.
Yeah. Sure. It is a novel in verse that tells the story of the Italian painter Artemisia Gentileschi. It is a powerful condemnation of rape culture told through the stories of both the painter Artemisia and two of the subjects of her paintings.
So telling a story in verse, I've actually had someone who's going to be on the podcast in season two. Linda Phillips wrote several books in verse. It's a different medium, but mm-hmm. it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. It is. I've read quite a few novels in verse this year, and I'm really excited to see how the medium is working and improving, and just the wide breadth of options out there.
Yeah, and you like this book because it takes you where?
Well, two reasons mainly. It talks about people in history who might not have gotten the right amount of attention. Mm-hmm. I had never even heard of Artemisia Gentileschi, but she was one of the most famous Italian painters of her time. Now, to be fair, people didn't know that she was the painter until after a while, because her father took credit for all of her paintings.
And that's how it was back then. The women were subjugated to the men and everything, including their artistic talents, right?
Absolutely. She does all the work. Her father takes all the credit. And when she is assaulted by a man who wants her for marriage, she actually takes him to trial and wins.
Oh, good. So at least you got a little vengeance there.
Yes, so, yeah. But at the cost of her painting. They destroy her hands, even though she wins. So it's a really powerful but also quite sad story that reads as much more relevant to today than you would think, considering it's historical fiction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, great. Thanks for that. What's next?
Actually, we didn't have it in stock, so I'm just sort of going from memory. It's a book called Beasts Made of Night.
But you will have it in stock.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You got it on order. It's
Beast Made of Night?
Yes, by Toshi Onyebuchi. He's a Nigerian-American writer. This is a young adult fantasy novel, perfect for fans of Black Panther, or if mm-hmm. you read young adult Children of Blood and Bone by Tomi Adeyemi. It's a brilliantly written fantasy novel set in a world where there are certain people who are known as sin eaters, who eat the sins of the rich and famous and the royalty. And the main character is a young man who has eaten the most sins of anyone. It's just this amazing, lush fantasy set in this Nigerian-inspired world.
Yeah, it's kind of spooky sounding.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is a bit.
And for our listeners, you'll hear people talking in the background. That's because we're in a very active bookstore, as you know, Park Road Books here in Parker Shopping Center. A lot of people coming and going during the holiday season. But hey, it's the environment. It's not a library, right?
You can talk in here. Yeah. Every once in a while, we'll get a little kid who whispers, and I appreciate it, but it's not entirely
necessary. Right?
No, okay. It's not.
What you got next?
Yeah. Kind of on the same, I guess this would probably also be scary. This one has gotten quite a bit of attention, and I tried to pick things that have not gotten enough attention,
right.
But I couldn't resist this one. It's a novel called Sadie by Courtney Summers. It's perfect for fans of thrillers and true crime podcasts. Mm. The book is told in two points of view. Sadie is a 19-year-old girl who has left her home in this small nowhere town surrounded by small nowhere towns where school is a 40-minute bus ride away. To get revenge on her sister's murderer, a man that she knows is the murderer because he used to date her mother, who was an addict. Mm-hmm. So you get Sadie's perspective, her desperation, her anger, and the way that she is so driven by revenge and revenge only. So you get into her mind and you hear this poor teen who has been through so much. Then you also get the other perspective is a true crime podcast that is telling Sadie's story 3 months after the
events. The spirit of Serial, right?
The
podcast that launched podcasts.
It is really as much a lot like Serial. And you can actually, the publisher, which is Macmillan, recorded a podcast. So you could even listen to episodes of the fictional podcast within the world of
Sadie. So now the podcast is doing a fictional podcast.
It's really cool. The audiobook is perfect for this one. If you are an audiobook person, this would make a really good choice because mm-hmm. you not only get the really cool podcast, but you get Sadie. And I'm personally not usually a fan of thrillers, but I absolutely loved this one because the mystery of the book isn't, you know, who killed mm-hmm. this kid, you know, mm-hmm. who's brutalizing these women. It's the what happened to Sadie. Is Sadie successful in getting her revenge?
So the cover is very intriguing. It fits with the less is more.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a picture of a woman with her hair blowing across her. You can't see her eyes. So maybe that's intentional. Maybe we want to see Sadie in some other way.
It's
if she dies,
brilliant.
She takes the truth with her.
It's brilliant. I read this book on, I think, a plane ride and
just tore through it.
I was not expecting to finish it, but I did. I finished it in about 2 hours.
Oh, great. Yeah. Those are the good kind of books, right?
Yeah, I like those a lot.
Okay. All right, what's up next?
The next is probably a book that most of you have read before. The Little Prince.
Deluxe pop-up book.
Yes, I am a multiple copy collector. I have, you know, my favorite book I've got is about 6 copies of. So this is one that we actually just got in. It's a pop-up book version of The Little Prince, and it is gorgeous. It's a classic story, very hopeful, and it's one of those that I think everyone should read or own a copy of, even if it's not this copy.
And it includes a free downloadable audio read. Acclaimed actor.
Viggo Mortensen?
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
I didn't even read that.
Didn't see that. See, we're doing a double promotion here.
Yeah.
Right? All right, so you got 2 more books.
Yeah, I do. So one is called Modern Her Story by Blair Imani. It's stories of women and non-binary people writing history. There have been a lot of books like this that have come out this year and last year of, you know, collections of women both in history and contemporary that have done extraordinary things. But this one, I think, is unique and special because it's not just, you know, cisgender women. There are trans women. Mm-hmm. There are non-binary people who are okay with being aligned with womanhood in here as well. There are modern activists as well as people who are historical activists as well, and people who have done things from art to sports to activism. And it's just a really well-curated collection. Blair Imani is the creator of a blog called Well-Read Black Girl. Mm-hmm. Everything that she puts out is really interesting and creative.
There's a chapter, Speaking Truth to Power. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
The art is gorgeous, which is always nice.
Books. I should say it's art. It's the drawings of the people that are being featured in the book here. And Modern Her Story, H-E-R. So, stories of women and non-binary people rewriting history.
And it's great for your activist friends and loved ones.
There you go.
Definitely, especially.
We hope we have some out there. Right?
I feel like this year has been a pretty big year for bringing out the activist in everyone.
Keep it up. Keep it up.
Yeah, for sure. And then my last but not least book is Spinning Silver by Naomi Novik. Naomi Novik is one of my favorite writers, my absolute favorite book of all
time.
It's
medieval a little bit, isn't it?
It's a fairy tale retelling. Her last book was called Uprooted, and it is my actual number one favorite book of all time. And this is the follow-up to Uprooted. You don't have to read one to read the other. They are standalones. But this one is a incredibly unique retelling of the Rumpelstiltskin myth. It's very, the author is Jewish, so the characters are Jewish. There are multiple intersecting storylines that almost oppose each other at times, but we are woven together beautifully. It's a very wintry book. It's a nice, thick fantasy
novel. Just snuggle
novel.
Up and get in. Yeah.
Yeah,
go to another world.
Most of it takes place in sort of this ice fairyland. But it's a brilliantly written book with six different points of view, which are all really unique and distinct from each other.
All right. Well, Shauna, great suggestions. I really appreciate this, and thanks for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, now I've got Sherry Smith with me. Sherry, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. And how long have you been with Park Road Books?
As Sally said, more than half my life.
More than half your life. So you know all the secrets, right?
You
know,
a few.
You know where all the books are buried, is that right?
That's true. That's true. We'll leave it at that.
Okay, well, great. Well, so you're going to give us some suggestions today from your perspective about great books for the season?
Yes, I'm actually the children's book buyer here, and so I picked out a couple of picture books and some middle grade books that I think would be kind of fun to give just for the holidays and in general.
All right. Well, all the parents and all the grandparents out there, listen closely.
That's right.
What's your first suggestion here?
My first suggestion is by Karma Wilson, and the illustrator is Matt Myers. It's called A Dog Named Doug. And Matt happens to live here in Charlotte. He is a wonderful illustrator. And Karma is known for her series, Bear Snores On, Bear Wakes Up. And I was fortunate enough to have the two of them here earlier in the summer. And it's a wonderful, fun picture book. It's about a dog named Doug.
A dog named Doug. It says Doug loves to dig, but when Doug digs... Oh, boy, does Doug dig. Yeah.
Yes.
So he digs and he finds things, I'm guessing.
Yes, he has a race with a ground squirrel, and things kind of go in a way that he doesn't anticipate. And when he pops up, he's actually at the White House, on the White House lawn, and ends up in a few spots and startles the President of the United States, who is pleasantly surprised. The Secret Service, on the other hand, are not pleasantly surprised and continue to chase Doug, who, again, continues to dig with the Secret Service in pursuit. And all sorts of chaos and fun things ensue from that point on.
So didn't they have something in Caddyshack that was underground, the mole?
I believe that was a groundhog, something like that, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So Doug is kind of like the groundhog. Yeah,
yes, it's quite fun. It's extremely funny. And we're hoping that would be me and other readers. They had so much fun doing this book together that we're hoping that they will be able to do a second one.
All right, great. Well, Doug's digging. All right. And you're digging Doug, right?
I'm digging Doug.
Right, what you got next?
The next one I have is it's a picture book called Shark NATO by Tara Luby and Becky Caddy. And Tara happens to live just across the border in Fort Mill. And Shark NATO is the story.
Across the border, but you can still get in.
You can still get in, yes. We let her in all the time.
Okay, all right.
Nate is into sharks. I mean, his room is covered in shark stuffed animals and posters and books, and he knows every shark fact you can think of. But Nate has one small problem.
What's that?
He doesn't know how to swim.
No. Well, that's because he's afraid of sharks.
He loves
sharks.
He loves sharks, so okay. He's going to go take swimming lessons because his older brother is on the swim team, and of course, he's better than Nate. So Nate says, let me go fix this. So he shows up for swimming lessons the first day and does what any normal child would do, which is jump straight into the deep end.
Mm. They used to throw you into the deep end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he is brave like a shark.
Okay.
And so since he thinks he can swim this way and that way, and instead of swimming, he flounders this way. He's not swimming slow like a Greenland shark, and he's not speedy like a Mako shark until toward the end of the book when he actually pays attention to said swimming lessons, and things turn out pretty well in the end, and he gets the comeuppance on his brother. And a neat thing at the end of the book are some real shark facts that Nate includes in the book.
Okay. What do these children book authors think of next? A kid who loves sharks.
Yeah. That's right.
All right. What you got next?
The next one is, the next two books I have are actually middle grade books, but they're written by people who are best known for their young adult novels. The first one is called The Dark Deep. It's by Ali Condie and Brendan Reichs. Brendan's name is probably fairly familiar to Charlotte listeners. He comes from a big family of writers. You may have heard of his mother, Kathy Reichs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Brendan is a best-selling author himself of young adult science fiction novels, and he and Ali have gotten together to write a book called The Dark Deep, which takes place in the Pacific Northwest with a group of friends who... You don't go to Still Cove for a reason. It's a mystery. It's spooky. It deals a little bit with bullying because the bully gets caught up in the story too. Mm-hmm. And as a huge fan of Scooby-Doo, I'm of the Shaggy and Scooby thing of just because it's there and it's spooky, you shouldn't go investigate it. However, but they're gonna Nico's friends right? Yeah. are like, he accidentally falls into the cove due to an incident that spurs him there. He ends up on this island that they didn't know about. So, of course, they must go explore this because that's what you're going to go do. And there's things on this island that are spooky, mysterious, and then there's this pool of darkness that one person jumps in and ends up in a different part of the island, and then something appears. Could be friend, could be foe.
So an adult might like to read this too. Then.
Yes, yeah. It's a lot of fun. I mean, you take a mixture of Scooby-Doo, a little bit of the Goonies, a little bit of spooky, because R.L. Stine wrote a really great blurb on the front of the book for it. It's adventure. It's got boys and girls in it, but there's also a stronger story of friendship and working together to solve the problems that may ensue from this island.
And it looks like there are two young boys and two young girls paddling a boat out to a very dark island.
Yes, that's hidden by the mist.
Hidden by the mist, with some eyes peeking through some of the shrubbery. What else you got?
And my last book is another fun one. It's by Roshni Choksi, who lives in Winston-Salem. And she was chosen, Rick Riordan, who's known for the Percy Jackson and the Olympian series and several other series with using mythology, decided to do an imprint using with other authors from different cultures and using their mythologies and things. Since he is not of Indian descent, he decided that Roshni would be the perfect person to do this book, as well as she was the first one chosen. It's called Arusha and the End of Time, and it's the story of a girl named Arusha who is going to a boarding school, and she doesn't quite fit in, so she makes up, kind of stretches the truth a little bit and says that, you know, she's from royalty and things of that because, well, you're 12, you're trying to fit in. And then her friends, or so-called friends, decide to call her bluff. And she is challenged. Her mother is the curator of a museum of Indian artifacts. That would be of ancient India. And so they sneak into the museum one night, and she lights the forbidden lamp that her mother said, you don't do. Now, you should listen to your mother, as well as the advice of be careful what you wear, because she lights the lamp, and something happens. And she awakens a demon from ancient Indian mythology.
She rubbed the lamp when she said
she lit the lamp, and she let the demon out of the bottle, who was going to go awake Shiva to destroy the world in 10 days. Arusha finds out that she's one of five Pandava brothers to come save the world. Apparently every generation there are one. And she meets one of her sisters. Now, this would be fine, except Arusha is wearing her Spider-Man pajamas to go save the world in. And when Minnie arrives...
Well, what better way to go save the world?
Well, yes, she's wearing pajamas, Spider-Man pajamas. Yeah. And when Minnie arrives, and their sidekick, Boo, who is a pigeon, who is probably an Indian deity, but he's not sure who he is just yet, who is quite exasperated with both girls. It's fun. It mixes a lot of action, as well as the culture of Indian mythology and Hinduism, and it's just grand fun. And the way that Roshni writes, and she's known for really rich and lush lyrics in her young adult, but she does have a great sense of humor. And if I could, I'd love to read a passage when Minnie finds out who she's the daughter of, just so you can get an idea of how she writes.
This is Charlotte Reader's Podcast. We like stories.
It's just one small thing when Minnie finds out who she is the daughter of which god. Because Arusha thinks that who her parent is cool, but Minnie does not. But Minnie's eyes welled with tears. This ruins everything. I thought I'd be the daughter of one of the Ashvin twins, the daughter of the god of medicine. What medical school is going to accept me if I am the daughter of death? She rocks back and forth, crying. Just think things like that. It's just like, because Minnie actually wants to go to medical school. She's from a different country, and she wants to go to medical school. And it turns out, well, if you're the daughter of death, that may not look good on your admission.
Not good on the resume. So you're the last one to give us some tips today, so I'm going to just finish up with you about the season here. Park Row Books is going to be almost open early to late coming up here in December, right?
Very true.
Yeah, what are the hours?
Monday through Friday, our hours are 9 to 9, starting the Saturday, first Saturday in December to the Saturday up to Christmas Eve. We'll be open from 10 to 8 and 10 to 6 on Sundays. We're open 9 to 4 on Christmas Eve. We are closed on Christmas Day.
Come on now.
Yeah, yeah. I have that day off.
You get that day off.
Yeah. I get that day off.
That's great. Well, it's been fun to record here in the bookstore and look around at all these books that you've got on the shelves, and to see, you know, the excitement that's building as we move into the holiday season with this interest in books, right?
Yeah. Very much
so. You live it all year long. I do too. I love to read myself. But you're really going to get an influx here in December, right?
This is definitely our busy time, but yeah. It keeps us on our toes, but we enjoy every minute of it.
Now, do y'all just sort of take a deep breath in January after it's over?
Yes, yes.
Okay, but the books are still for sale in January,
books
right?
are still for sale in January. There'll be some books coming out in January. So if exactly. you don't see something before Christmas, we can always get something good after Christmas too.
Well, Sherry, thank you for spending some time with us today and giving us these great picks.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thank you very much. Yep.
Well, that's it for today. The book experts at Park Road Books have given voice to the written word of others. Thank you for listening, and please consider subscribing to the podcast, which you can do for free, wherever you like to listen to podcasts. And if you like what you heard, it would really help us out if you could leave a review. Just drop one there on Apple Podcasts. It'll be a big help to increase our listenership. You can also join our email list at charlottereaderspodcast.com. We won't spam you, just keep you updated on the show. When you join, as a thank you, you get a free ebook written by your host, the first in a Christmas trilogy, kind of a cross between My Cousin Vinny and Miracle on 34th Street. You can tweet at us on Twitter, at Charlotte Reader, and like us on Facebook at the Charlotte Reader's podcast page, where you'll find pictures of and information about the authors. Until next time, I'm Landis Wade for Charlotte Reader's Podcast.